This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
Welcome back to the Oddball Aussie podcast. On tonight's episode, we are talking to Richard McGill, the photographer of the extraterrestrials. He's also a very interesting man and a bit of an artist as well. All that I ask is that you have respect for any and all my guests that I have on this show, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Before we get into it, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Aussie Oddball. The Instagram and the Facebook page is the Oddball Aussie podcast. You can also find me on TeePublic if you want to support the show with a financial means. So you want to buy a shirt or a mug or anything like that, go to the TeePublic store, The Oddball Aussie. You can also check out the network that I am a part of. That's Straight Up Strange Productions. And you'll find many, many excellent podcasts on there. And check us all out. And yeah, hope you're in for the very first interview of the Oddball Aussie podcast. It was interesting, and it was an honor to have Richard McGill as my first guest. So without further ado, enjoy. Welcome back to the Oddball Aussie podcast. Today we're talking to Richard McGill, the personal photographer to extraterrestrials. Hello, Richard. How are you?
I am absolutely amazing. Yourself?
Very good. And we've been talking for a while through Twitter, and I find your story to be absolutely fascinating.
As do I, trust me. It's been a whirlwind, crazy, unimaginable 3.5 years from when I was a forklift driver, just for shits and giggles, trying to contact aliens one night. And 15 minutes of doing it, I see a little light skip across the sky for 2 seconds. And I was so excited I continued to try to interact with them for 15, 20 minutes, and nothing else since happened. I guess most people would just call it quits, and that's their extraterrestrial experience. But me, I fixate on it. So I was a forklift driver that worked afternoons. So every night for a couple of weeks, I tried to interact alien with the stars or the moon that are as a UFO probably, and for half hour, and then a couple of weeks to doing this every night. They locked onto my cell phone and like zoomed in, and then clouds would move and stop. Other clouds move on top of it. I was kind of like I was in a snow globe. Yep. And then the next day I walk into my shower and I noticed like rudimentary alien faces in my townhouse with a pigsty. So it was like every canvas, every wall and carpet is a canvas for them. And I saw faces, which I asked, basically, long story short, I invited them into my home to party and asked them to make me a smiley face in the sky. And now I'm about to prove to the world aliens are real.
And that's awesome. Like that's, it's really interesting that you say that about, you could have just given up and moved on, but you kept on trying. I think a lot of people have that sort of mindset that, well, I haven't seen anything, so there mustn't be anything out there. You know, I've lived on this planet for X amount of years, never seen a weird thing happen. So nothing really weird does happen. And it's very closed-minded.
Correct.
I think what you're doing is really really important, actually. I think trying to connect with things that aren't terrestrial, it's a big step, but someone's got to do it, I guess.
Well, but like my story could be anybody's story, and
exactly.
That's what like Stephen Greer has based his go out to the woods with me and pray, do meditate, buy my app, and you could see this. But I don't know why no one had actually invited them into their home, or why me versus anybody else, is because I realize the aliens are benevolent, real, and savvy business people. So I'm trying to build them a business with a photo book. And I promise you, 50% of the profits, whether it's $50 or $100 million, is going to environmental causes.
Yeah, so I read that. That's excellent. That's really, really good. We don't see much of that at all. You see a lot of people get into this field expecting to make money, and expecting to, they see the ancient alien stuff and all that, and they think, yeah, that's going to be me next. I'm going to be the next Stephen Greer and all that. And this is why I think the UFO field can be very, there's a lot of potholes in it. Because I honestly do believe what you're saying, but I've run into that many people who have been in it to swindle people. And I always sit there and ask, you know, what do people have to gain and what do people have to lose? And for you to be giving money away to ecological causes and things like that, that shows me that you're not in this to try and become a millionaire overnight.
No, well, I mean, that would be helpful because I've invested all my money into this and spent 3 years without a paycheck documenting their art. But like I said, originally started, all I want to do was prove to my coworkers that I was interacting with them and proving them to that I'm real. And that's why I was filming.
Yep.
Telepathically move left, move right. And it kind of actually followed through with it.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so that's where did this all?
Funny that you mentioned ancient aliens. Yep. Someone actually made a 20-minute documentary about me. It could be an episode of Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, I did watch that. You linked me to that. I did watch through that, and I've been watching a few of your videos and stuff. We'll get to the video that you sent me with the little moving creature, I guess you call it, that comes in and out of the dimension. We'll get to that soon. But have you always had this? Have you always had something strange happening around you, even before when you were a kid or anything, or has this just been in the light, like since you finished up being a forklift driver?
Well, I have a picture when I was in Venezuela when I was 19 that there's a big UFO in the sky. So they've had their eye on me for 15 years. And I have a family picture where they there's something like a UFO, like a long cylindrical shaped UFO in the sky. So maybe it's part of my family lineage. I don't know, but I've never really actually been into science fiction whatsoever. As I've said, I've never seen the full Star Wars or E.T. Star Wars in the entire. So I'm not in a science fiction buff at all.
Yeah, that's important to point out because a lot of people look at some of the older stories that we see of UFO encounters or abduction stories, and they see people that had a whole catalog full of sci-fi books and movies and what have you, and they sort of go, well, how do we know this isn't just a dream they had where they would dream about their favorite sci-fi movie? But I don't think that really applies to you.
Someone gave me a Whiteley Strieber book, and then I started reading it, and I realized that it was fiction. I'm like, what? This guy, his first book, Communion, was all about his real life things, and now he's making a fiction book. I'm like, I couldn't even, and it was negative aspects. I'm like, I couldn't even read it. I've used it to start a fire in my camping.
I do find it to be a very interesting book, but that's. Oh, yeah. That's a very very interesting topic. We may as well. Sorry,
I said I have read 6 actual books on the subject. So
yep,
trying to figure out things, but not all, non-fiction. Not
that's after the fact, isn't it? Like you didn't go into this loaded up books.
No, this was just to figure things out.
No, that's cool.
3-year process.
So you sort of just bridged a topic that I was going to talk about after, but we may as well talk about now. The UFO community. This is one of the most interesting things I find when somebody like yourself comes out into the community talking about things like this. The UFO community has a problem, I know, of eating their own. And have you experienced anything like this?
Oh, my goodness. I was eating. That's a good way of saying they wouldn't even let me get into the chat, basically. You're the
I see it all the time. I see people who initially come out with information and they're automatically shut down, but if you can get your voice heard by Joe Rogan or any of the other major shows, then all of a sudden you become the next hot topic. look at Bob Lazar and people like that.
I appreciate your help with doing that immensely.
Well, that's the thing, is that my whole show, my whole idea is that I want to get people's stories out there and give people a good spot to get their stories out there, because I see this happens too much where people like yourself will call into a radio station and you can't hear it, but in the background they're playing stupid little tunes over top of you to make you sound like a dumbass. So, and I'd really find that to be real disingenuous. But we see that, we see a lot of what you just said.
A week from today, or last week, I did my first podcast, and they didn't even look at the video and see the little insect sized thing moving. And if they watch the 20-minute documentary, you could see it. They circle it for people to see.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I have actually watched that one. I found that to be quite interesting, because I think you're sort of on a similar mindset to me, maybe, that extraterrestrials may not be coming from another planet per se, but more of an interdimensional type thing. Would I be correct in thinking that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first day after I walked off the job, I was in my and I bought a digital camera. I was in my backyard and I noticed a little translucent, like see-through, shimmering blue ladybug-sized UFO doodling on my barbecue lid for about like 5-6 minutes. I filmed it and then I moved the grate and I scared it off. I've had other people have said to me that they know about the insect-sized UFOs. I mean, humans have nanotechnology, so why wouldn't extraterrestrials, if they're billions of years more advanced than us, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to think, people sort of tend to want to think about it using the technology of today, and really we're the most technologically advanced thing we've ever experienced on this planet. So people sort of set their mind to that. I mean, you think back to the 50s and 60s where they said we'd be in flying cars by now. And so it people sort of get stuck in that rut. Yeah. So what exactly do you think these, say, extraterrestrials, so what do you think they are? Do you think we're talking about little green men, or are we talking about something more corporeal, almost ghost-like, or are they even beyond that? Are they at a higher level where they are basically what we ascertain as angels?
I think that's all of the above, basically.
Yep.
We'll obviously talk about my little green fish that I asked for fish or shrimp. I was just one day, just for shits and giggles, I asked them, hey, can I try some of your food? And I found a little green one-eyed alien fish, most likely, or shrimp outside my bedroom door soon after. So if it's a little green man, then that would probably be what a little green man would eat. But they, when you use your third eye, just look at them, they look kind of like the shimmering purplish black, kind of look like cute, like lizard-like cartoonish characters in your minds. I've also seen like the normal gray, but one of the books I read, they from Dolores Cannon, who's a famous hypnotherapist. I don't know if you've read any of her books.
No, I haven't. Well, I'll have to write that one down.
Yeah, Dolores Cannon. Basically, like when you're talking, a hypnotherapist, when you ask your third, your subconscious, can I talk to your subconscious? And then your subconscious would talk, and then alien entities can go through them. So you'd think that it'd be a little more truthful than a normal person. I don't know how much that truth in that, but what one of the books they said is that alien like are such, have such like high brain power that they can just stand on their own planet and telepathically like communicate their head, their face and thoughts into you. So they don't even have to be in the UFOs or in other dimensions. They could be in their home planet far away. So
yes. So I've heard a bit about that sort of stuff before. And the ship is essentially the thought bubble being sent rather than the big metal UFO that we see. It's more of something that's being projected into the person's mind. So that's why some people can look up and see a UFO and others look up and they see nothing.
Exactly. And that's, yeah. And they're invisible. Most times they're invisible. So what people do, like basically the main thing they do for me is make this art. They're not nefarious in any way. They're kind of jokesters. They play word games, but mainly it's art for me. I just sprinkle a substance down and through time and space, or they can come in. You can't really see them too often, but at least for me, I have a couple UFO pictures, but most of the time they're like all the videos I have on my YouTube channel are just like a mist or a fog moving microscopic things. But I also have photographs when you take it and you zoom in and you see little circular, they're either colors like purple or blue, but also little X's, like little microscopic X's. So that's, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is art imitating alien extraterrestrial life.
it's quite interesting. So we'll start, just to establish that, this is where you come into the field quite a bit, is the art from extraterrestrials. That's why you are the photographer to extraterrestrials. So this artwork, do they work through you, or are they making it? Are they getting you to manipulate things, or is it a bit of both?
My music, I would honestly think that I'm the conduit, like you said. I'm the medium for them. I can't reproduce the music on my YouTube channel. It's all like just me. When I first got my ukulele and started playing, my favorite band is Led Zeppelin, but I'm not not holding my breath for a new album, right? So I try to, I said to aliens, hey, let's do a little Jimi Hendrix, a little Grateful Dead, a little little Zeppelin, a little Dylan, put it all, just me playing music. And hopefully I think I had some crazy, unique, silly sounds. If you go on my YouTube channel, Richard McGill, feel free to wear headphones.
Yeah, but I was going to say, definitely check out, definitely plug whatever you have. On Twitter, you are at Richard McGill 2. And on
M-A-G-I-L-L.
Yep. So Richard, at Richard M-A-G-I-L-L 2. And on YouTube.
YouTube, Richard McGill.
Yep.
And Instagram, McGill_Richard.
Okay.
I'm just finding my Instagram. But
I didn't actually realize you had an Instagram, but
I started with Twitter, and my Twitter account was actually suspended for 5 months. One day I was like, all right, I'm gonna get famous today. And I sent out 40 unique tweets, but with like almost the same writing, but different pictures. And they said I was a automated thing. So they kicked me out for 5 months. And as soon as the election was finished in America, then I went back on. So
yeah,
I
think it was
like perfect timing that time I should have focused on Instagram, but I didn't.
There's some interesting stuff going on with social media right now. And so I find it quite interesting that it affects all of us, even though it's all coming from this one place in Silicon Valley. All of us that have got nothing to do with America, we all get affected by it too. Like, I've got backup stuff for Twitter just in case, especially this year, going into a bit more of the conspiratorial stuff and things like that. I'm noticing that the social medias don't really like you talking about too much stuff anymore. So unless you're...
I was going to ask you how COVID is there, but I won't even...
They're not going to take that down. I'm in the country. I'm out west, and we've handled it really, really well. We don't have a great, huge population. And personally, I think that's half the reason why people are having problems with it, is because of everyone's living on top of each other nowadays. And
very, very true. That's one of the things I think of, that everyone spent all this money on in vaccines and everything, but how much have we spent on duct cleaning to clean out all the dust?
Yeah. It's like,
aliens are telling me that's a huge problem, like 50% of the, I don't want to talk for say aliens told me, sorry, I don't want to say that. I can't.
You're right.
Get inclinations, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to say I talk for them. I'm not that.
They give you a gist. They give you a feeling about something.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. One of the things also is taking all the oil from underneath the ground. I think, like, because I just, the I read something a couple weeks ago that last year was the temperature in the oceans was the highest it's ever been. So taking all the oil from underneath is like, I'm going to get suicided for this, but might as well just get it out of the way now, right? So it's like, we're taking, like, you know, you're not just, the old saying, don't paint yourself in a corner. It's kind of like that, but we're taking the floor from underneath our feet, and there's the hot magma core. So all the oil, I would think, is, you know, insulation for it. So that's what I'm thinking aliens are telling me. But
well, everything has a part, doesn't it? Like every structure is built in a way that everything does something. So the planet is built with a core with layers. You take away one of those layers, of course, we're going to start to get start to have problems. And I agree with you. Yeah, the oil and everything and mining. We have a lot of mining in Australia, and it's good. It's great for work and all that, but you're carving into the thing we're supposed to be living in, and you know, it's quite interesting that people want to just keep on digging, but without trying to find other ways.
Some of your videos based in Australia about getting the gold.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Got big nuggets there.
Gold and uranium's a big one over here too. We supply the world. I think the majority of uranium comes from Australia.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the mining industry. It used to be said that Australia was built on the sheep's back, because we used to make the most wool and the highest grade wool. We still do, but then we discovered how many raw materials are and rare earth elements there are in Australia, and everyone just started digging the hell out of it. But it's not great. So I do applaud you with your ecological efforts and all that as well.
Because, I feel bad. I have 4,800 copies of the book left, but the next edition is when I print more is going to have to be in better ink and at least 30% recycled paper.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like
to save the planet, you know.
I'll be doing a show on it this year sometime. I've been doing a lot of research into hemp as a material, and I believe it's something that's been shoved aside and not talked about. I think hemp is a really versatile material that could be used in anything.
Yeah, construction, I heard.
Yeah, well, Henry Ford, the first shell of his original cars, he had a hemp design. And he's basically told to, you know, we're not selling your hemp design. We want the metal, and we want the polymers and things like that.
Really? I didn't know that. That's
great. Yeah, there's a picture. I'll shoot it through to you on Twitter after this, but there's a picture of the Henry Ford car that's made out of hemp. But yeah,
the water cars.
Like, yeah, H2O cars. It's there's a lot of things that big oil and that don't want you to do. And also, it's all powered by the government. Let's face it, like, the government loves oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all governments, I think. All right, getting back onto where we are. So where do you see this going? Like, what? Let's say you did get your word out there in a big way, and people did listen. What do you want people to do with this information that you have?
Not to freak out. Obviously, that's the main thing. That I think they've done this in such a way for me that it's undeniable in my mind that this has occurred. And like, I've already sent up a book to someone in America. I'm from Canada. Go Commonwealth, British Commonwealth. And he said, the guy that bought my book is like, yeah, I kind of invited them into my house to party too, and they're making faces in my windows too, and he's not freaked out. So it's basically hopefully a whole series of books where it's like, the books are like the game SimCity or Where's Waldo.
Yep.
If you ever remember going to the doctor's office when you were a kid.
Yeah,
I don't know if in Australia they have Australian versions of Where's Waldo, maybe?
Yeah, we call it Where's Wally.
Where's Wally, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
exact same book, just we call it Wally.
What is the female girl, the version of her?
I can't even remember now.
I think it was Walda.
Walda?
Waldo and Walda. But yeah, it's like you zoom in and you get to travel to other, see what, like little, when you zoom in, it's like crop circles, but like really, 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 really complicated that you have to put the book down and zoom in. So it's like being, I say it's like to be able to travel to other alien planets and dimensions without leaving your seat. So it's like people are stuck inside. It would be perfect. It's like a coffee table book. When you're on the shitter, just take it and look at it.
But yeah, not for sure.
No one be scared. And just, it's like, basically no one's going to have privacy anymore, but everyone has to have privacy as it is with putting all their info on social media.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, this is if anyone wanted, if the military wanted to drop a tomahawk on you at any point, they can do it. Like they know exactly where we are at all times. It's very interesting how much freedom we give up for safety. But so why do you think? Why do you think you've been chosen? So what makes it, apart from you seeking them out, why do you think they've gone, yep, this is the guy?
I think I told you that my grade 10 English teacher was actually Australian.
Yeah, that's right.
I was having a hard, tough choice choosing a profession, and I wanted to get into either advertising or becoming a lawyer. And I eventually settled on advertising, and she was so pissed off. She's like, oh, because I used to make a lot of like creative videos for class, like Hamlet or something with like floating knives, and like everyone loved my videos. And she was so disappointed that I wanted to get into advertising. So, and then first year of university, I was going to do a joint program. But after the first year, I was like disillusioned and didn't want to do that anymore. And then quit after the first year, went traveling to Venezuela and worked as a pizza place manager, a forklift driver for 10 years. Basically, I wasn't doing anything special and wasting my life. So now I have like a dream job that no one ever dreamed of. That's like a combination of both of those. Aliens are my one client, and I have to use advertising on Twitter to prove that they're real.
Yep. Yeah, excellent. And that, I think this is where a lot of people get unstuck. A lot of people will call people out and say, well, why you? Well, it doesn't necessarily just have to be you. I've got this bit of a working theory that they're in contact with quite a few people, but they just use a particular medium. So as an artistic person, they use art through you. Whereas maybe someone who's more of an engineer, someone with a technical brain, they might use the blueprints and things like that. I think there's different ways of connecting with different people, and I think there's just some people that are more open to it.
Mm-hmm. True.
So let's get into the art, because I think this is where we really see your stuff. Let's start with, so I've got the list of pictures you've sent through. So if this is up on YouTube, this will be image number one. This is the fish, alien fish shrimp. So talk me through this. You said that you wanted to eat something of theirs. How'd this come about?
I kind of said it, that I was just asked them to try some food one day, and I found it outside my bedroom door. A couple months later, it's really, really tiny. It's like fits inside of a memory card case, and it only has one eye. It's green. A month or two later, I thought I found another one, but that was just a green pepper off a pizza.
So that puts it into a better perspective for me. Cause I'm like looking at it, I'm trying to figure out how big this thing is. So it's, size of memory. Okay. Yeah. I can see that now. So obviously you haven't eaten it.
Nope. After about a year, it kind of got a little little started to brown a little bit, so I put it in my freezer. So I have it for scientific testing. If anyone wants a piece of a scientist listening, message me and I'm trying to get it scientifically tested.
Yeah, well, I know quite a few people in the field who are over there in America. If I hear of anyone through my network, I'll point them in your direction.
That would be much appreciated.
Because obviously, I wouldn't really trust sending it over here to Australia. No, I think someone in the airport might have a nibble and disappear. But
it would be a very, very small piece. But
yeah, of course,
customs on that would think I'm shipping a little piece of LSD or something.
I couldn't get coffee into the country because really? Of this COVID stuff. So I'm not going to get alien meat through
seafood.
So I heard you on the other podcast you did. You said you did like lick it or something. It's like a fishy taste, as you would expect from a shrimp.
I think so. Yeah, it kind of looks like the ridges. Like if it was a little green man, that's what they would eat. Basically, it's really tiny, and it kind of looks like probably dehydrated. On the podcast, they were like, you could rehydrate it. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I've already got my fingerprints on it, you know.
Yeah, not only that, it's not as easy to rehydrate things as people think it is. So,
why would I?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing ever comes back the same way. And obviously, if this is how they presented it to you, this is how they possibly may eat it. I mean, you think about the food we give to astronauts; most of it's dehydrated in some way. So, you know, they might intend on this to be the way that you eat it, but.
Well, that's the thing. I asked, I like to say that I invited them into my house to party. So when I asked them for this, asked to try some of their food, and I found it outside my bedroom door, but there was a little Q-tip right next to it. So it was kind of like maybe my cat knocked it there, but it was just for me to notice it more and not step on it. And then, it's like a little party, an appetizer, you know?
Could be a alien edible. Yeah, you might not come down from that high for months.
Funny thing you mentioned, I did one time ask them to try some other, like, you know, I've tried a lot of things in my time, but I asked to try some of their, give me some of their drugs, and I found this like a little orange tablet with like a little white frosting on it.
Yeah,
and
right.
I definitely lost my ego that night.
Oh,
I
wow.
It was a very, but then I thought I found something maybe a month or two later. But that turned out just to be like a wrapper off my a gum packaging.
Yeah.
So how much, you never know, placebo, you know, well, is a big thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like if you're on Alien Pingers, I think you're going to know whether it's placebo or not.
I've never heard that term before.
Pingers. Oh, that's an Aussie thing. For pills. Yeah. Pingers. Pingers. All right, so the alien UFO selfie.
Yes,
that's a very interesting one. You can obviously see the. So is it a arm that I'm looking at?
Most likely, yes. Thank you for noticing. It looks like an arm, basically.
Yeah.
People. So the story behind this. So I'm by myself in my room, spare bedroom, taking pictures, and I've got invisible UFOs around me. So I'm trying to keep. Entertaining, keep it lively. I'm one man, who knows, hundreds of dozens of invisible UFO or alien energy. So I start just for one day making, like, I call it sexual sock puppet gestures, like do 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 do, like a sock puppet game, but a lewd in nature in front of my digital camera. I did not take any pictures, just using, like, if the lens is the audience, basically. Just I don't know what came over me, just for maybe 2-3 minutes doing this. And then the next day on my cell phone, it was a new cell phone, that picture appeared on my cell phone. The source of it is called cover camera. The cover of the camera was closed. And you can see the arm doing the exact same thing that I was doing, the sexual sock puppet gesture.
Yeah, right. Okay, I see now. Yeah.
And you can see a little UFO floating above it. And I don't know what that top thing is.
Yep.
But they took another one too. The same, the file size is in kilobytes.
So this here, you haven't put a filter through this screen. This is how it is. This is just how it turned out. So
the yellow ones, yes, but I have adjusted it to different colors.
I've seen, I saw the other ones you sent me through there before, but the one I'm looking at now, the orange one, it's the original. So that's very interesting because that's like a thermal sort of image almost.
Not the orange, like the white and yellowish.
Yeah, white and yellowish. That's what I'm looking at.
And there's one on top of it that also appeared. I have no story behind that one.
Yeah, no, that's
a page out of my book. That's how.
Yeah. Now that's very interesting. So
I say that's the first alien UFO selfie from another dimension. That's what. But they have no face, just. You know, they have still have the little intrigue. You want to see faces, you got to buy our book, right?
It's funny. I think a lot of people sort of have this mindset that aliens are going to be completely straight down the line, you know, perfect beings.
Absolutely. No. I agree with you, but they're more kind, joking.
Yeah.
And this picture shows that they're jovial. They're just mimicking what I was doing. It shows me that they're my actions aren't in vain, that there's someone actually watching through, whether it's on other planets or microscopically or other dimensions. I couldn't tell you 100%, but I did not take that picture. It's not a forgery. I'm very bad with technology. I can promise you that.
Well, not only that, if that's your arm, then your wrist is skinny as hell.
I know. I'm a fat fuck, honestly. So no, I'm a big boy.
Yeah, I'd be wondering if you're anorexic if you had a wrist that small. So
I know, you're right. A very long wrist. You can't see how many fingers.
But no.
One of the things I described the art as is a mixture of Salvador Dali and Walt Disney. So if you ever if you're familiar with the famous painting of Dali called Dali Atomicus.
Yeah.
So that's, I would say, an homage to that picture, but alien.
I can see that. Yeah.
A little bit, right?
Yeah. No, I see you can sort of see the same sort of vibe. Yeah.
Instead of a cat floating, it's a little UFO floating.
Something there. Yeah. No, I get the vibe on that. All right, the number three, we've got the Ogre Rock. Now, I find this one to be intriguing because I've looked at this thing for ages. Every time I look through your pictures, something just draws my mind back to this one because I see...
I know, that's one of my favorites, honestly, too.
I heard the other guys... Though? Sorry?
Did you flip it around to the other... Like, it's not just... If you flip it completely... Different ways, there's other alien faces. It's not just the ogre. The way I that's the thing about the pictures. It's like you can view it numerous different ways.
Oh, so I've seen so many different things in it just looking at it. Initially the first thing that came to my head was like a ton of different snake skins almost put together. Like a ball of different textures of snake skin is what initially saw, reptile skin. But then the more I looked into it, I've seen a minotaur face in there. I've seen the ogre, these two little white figures on the left and right. They look very, very much like
a lattice, like a fence kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I see that, but I also see very similar to Aboriginal cave art here in Australia. We have cave art here in Australia that has these white figures. With a pale face and sort of a halo around the heads. These don't really have the halo, but they're the same sort of shape as these figures that we see here in Australia, and especially up around the top of the stone in the picture you've sent me. There's another one up there that has all the dots around the top, like the halo they have here in Australia. So I keep seeing different stuff in it. It's very intriguing. So what's your story behind this one?
I just found it.
Yep.
I basically have like inclinations to go look in my backyard and around my house, and I found it after maybe a few dozen Brocks. I have a couple of different ones that are really like that, but this one's the nicest. But I don't pick up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rocks to find it, but I just maybe a few a day or something, and then I would sit and watch it, and they would make it even more. Work like inside the rock. It's not it's like it's a picture inside the rock.
Have you ever thought to submerge it and see if anything changes once it's in water?
Not really. It helps out make the picture a little bit nicer. Mm. Like give them a little kind of like, I guess when you're working with clay, make the clay a little wet.
Yeah,
probably. But no, yeah. The paintings I do, when they're dry, they can still come and make art in it. So like I have pictures of a slab of marble. Right. So they make pictures and everything.
Yeah, I saw that. And you had one, it's not on the list I've got here, but you had one that you had on that previous podcast you're on. Mm-hmm. It was the base of a chess piece, I think you were saying.
Yeah, it was a divider for or like a bookend piece, but it looked like a chess piece, like the knight. Ah,
right. Okay. Yep.
It was big, but yeah, it looked like a little what a interdimensional little cartoon character would look like, I would assume.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting. So this brings us on to the number four, the drill hole rock, and this one's quite fascinating as well. It's it definitely looks like it's a, for anyone that doesn't have the picture in front of them, it's a little stone, almost like a bead looking thing with a intricately carved hole in the top. And this looks like it's been done by a tool of some sort.
Right.
Yep.
I found that on my birthday. Just, yeah, right. Again, I didn't pick up hundreds of rocks, just picked up a couple, maybe like two birthdays ago, and I found it. And the whole thing recently about the monoliths appearing throughout the world, right?
Yep.
I would say that, I would argue that this rock is just as amazing and as more difficult to reproduce.
I agree. Also harder for people to find. So, mm-hmm. If people keep an eye out, like this is the thing, is everyone, no one looks down or up anymore.
Very true.
They miss things very easily. So do you see this as maybe a bit of a gift from them?
Oh, absolutely. it's not the first gift. I don't know if we can skip right to number 12 if you want to. The actual gift that I've ever first asked them.
Yep. Like, we'll go to number 12. Yeah, okay.
That's, so after a couple months of interacting with them, I decided to ask them for a gift. Actually asked them in my mind, hey, guys, give me something like the gold and meteorite lace dagger, like the one found in King Tut's tomb. And I don't know what I was thinking. Here I was given this, I was a forklift driver, and now I'm a photographer to invisible UFO energy. I should just be thankful for that, right? Something amazing. But I can ask them for that. And then I found this rock inside the exact same spot where they locked into my cell phone in my backyard a couple of weeks of asking them that for that. And oh, wow. It has many characteristics of craftsmanship, like there's a notch, two flat sides. It's I dropped it, so that the piece on the top is missing. But the thing about meteorites are mainly they're magnetic. But then people were saying that's the main earth rock is magnetite. But the different, when you scratch magnetite on tile, it leaves a mark. This one does not.
Wow.
And this one's high, and I also have a little tiny version of the same characteristics that's also magnetic.
Yep. So would you, if once again,
it's
would
like
this
a perfect
be...
tomahawk.
Yeah. Tomahawk. Yeah. So I saw a spearhead, but like an arrowhead or something, but yeah.
I was thinking like a perfect, like two flat sides, amazing parallel design.
Yeah.
It's like if you were in a prison and you found this rock, you would think it would be the perfect shank piece.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah, it's definitely something there to it, and so it's made out of the same sort of stuff as the Tutankhamun's knife,
I can't tell you. I can't say that at all. I just, for some reason, I was asking about that piece.
Yeah.
That's like something to do with meteorites, and that's not supposed to be in that time period.
Yeah, I just think meteorite carving is amazing. Yeah, we do find it a lot all over the planet. So for them to gift you something like that, I mean, that's intriguing. And the fact that it doesn't leave the mark that that normally would do.
Magnetite, like Earth rock would do.
Like Earth rock does, yeah. No, that's very interesting. So would you, if you were to find someone who would be able to do tests on this, would you be open to letting them test? And, yeah.
I guess we'd probably have to chip off. I wish I had saved the piece. I kept looking for where I put it, but that, I don't know. So we'd have to chip off a little tiny piece, but I'd be willing to sacrifice it for science. Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the thing about me. Like, I don't just coming with a story or secondhand knowledge. No, like we can do this a live demonstration of me just sprinkling a substance down, and the visible UFO energy will make pictures anytime, anywhere, any place. It's, and I also have like all this proof to back up what I say. That has to be tested, but you can see the things for, if you actually look at the art or look at the pictures being made, it's invisible mainly, except for the one insect sized video.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, before we move on to the next, art pieces, let's talk about that video a bit.
Sure.
So the video, I'll put a link into the description of the podcast and also on Twitter as well when this goes up. And the video, will you explain the video for everyone?
It's basically, I put sprinkle something down and watch for 10, 20, sometimes up to 2 hours. So you don't have to do that. All you have to do is buy my book and you can just look at it, put the book down and zoom in and see stuff. But I put in 3 years of watching kitty litter trays, this one in the video is crushed up charcoal. And I guess I didn't crush it up enough. And so they brought a little insect sized UFO that it floats into view around the 4 minute, 10, 12 second mark and stops and then wobbles back and forth and then makes a really slow, like preposterously slow motion, like really, really slow. And it makes a sound for some reason. I don't know what that sound is.
Yeah.
Flops down like a backflip or somersault. Like you don't see insects, flies do that. In slow motion, flops down onto the paper. 5 minutes, it meanders across it. And then when it gets to the other side, the bottom, so it entered the bottom left-hand corner of the paper. And then around the 9 minute something mark, it goes to the edge of the paper and starts like vibrating a little bit and watch real close and boop, it pops out of our dimension. That's what I would think it does.
That's sort of my thought too, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when I watched it, I was like, yeah, it seems like it transitions in and out, but... instead of just flying away like an normal insect would.
No, yeah, it popped. It's like a magician without the cloak.
Yeah.
How are you guys familiar with Chris Angel?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that guy's probably an alien.
Yeah, I think a few of them are. A few of them probably would have to be to do some of those things. So we'll have that video up. We'll have the link to that video up and definitely check it out and definitely like the video because that'll get it out there more.
Please do. It's like it's not, there's no, it's shitty quality because it was just a cheap tablet and I didn't think that anything was going to happen. But just fast forward the entire video to make it easy to see what we're talking about. Because like the first podcast I did, downright said, no, we didn't include it because we didn't see anything.
I'm like, yeah.
Okay. So again, if you don't believe, most people, they look at my proof for like 1 second, 2 seconds and hand it back to me. And then they've already got in their mind what their terrestrial explanation is. They don't want to give me the chance to actually show me the proof. But they have an idea. Oh, it's not cloud art. It's cumulus clouds. It's not a UFO in the sky. It's the International Space Center, or it's the KGB, or my fish is not a fish or a shrimp. It's a rotten banana. It's seaweed.
Yeah.
It's a fishing lure, like anything but aliens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're very quick nowadays, especially to judge and to move on and just say, okay, yep, I know better than you do. This is what it is. Move on from there. But yeah, it takes a lot of control of one's mind to be able to actually sit there and think about the limitless possibilities of what certain things can be. And I think that's what you really do, what you're doing with your artwork here or with their artwork is really diving into some different layers. A lot of people from esoteric...
We're collaborating yeah, together.
Exactly, like yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
First business between a human and an alien. Or
yep.
I don't know if it's a Galactic Federation or not, but it's a collaboration that... My townhouse was really, really messy. I'm sure this is happening to lots of people. If you look at like movies, you can look in the clouds and it's 10% of your imagination and you can actually see like, but not just in clouds. I've given them
just
like,
in anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say because clouds move and I've evolved from taking pictures with a shitty little pawn shop camera to a professional camera that I was not even in the room when I was taking the pictures, and I used the Wi-Fi to try to get it as crisp and clear as possible and prevent any outside influences from saying, oh, it's just camera shake or stuff, right?
Yeah, so that's interesting. You dive into a lot of different methods of trying these things out too, which is really good. You get some people who just stick with the one way of doing things. Nope, this is the right way. But no, you sound like you try a lot of different methods to get this information.
Yeah, actually, I forgot to send you the picture. They do a cross-stitch picture that I mentioned.
Yes.
I forgot to send you that one. I don't know if you want
no,
to.
No, that's all right. I saw that one. I'll get you to send that through and I'll put that in there. Okay. But I've seen it and the back of it is what we're looking at. And
correct.
There's something I'm sort of looking at in that picture. It almost looks like a star chart.
Really?
That's sort of, I know star charts pretty well, but it doesn't match up with any star charts that I know of, but it very much does look like how we would draw a star chart.
Really? Yeah, it's obviously not done though, but
no, it's not finished. No,
they're definitely waiting for me to get on the Joe Rogan podcast and they're just going to whip it out in 5 minutes. But it was complete. I can promise you that. There was, if you look at the front, the cat's faces, all that black there, it was not there. And I just, for some reason, after, like you said, tried 100 different mediums, graphite, baking soda, paint pigment, charcoal, graphite combination, sweepings from my floor, and then I just found this fully complete picture. Someone spent hours making it and then just dropped it by my house. I don't know what that's about, but then I just think to flip it over and watch, and you see the energy. I've got pictures of that making it on my YouTube channel too.
Yes,
but again, it's not very exciting to watch, and just hours upon hours watching it, and then. Whoa, something, they actually moved it considerably, and I have got it sewed onto a t-shirt, and they can still do it without the other side being, you know, I don't have no artistic abilities like that. My mom actually did. I have some of her cross-stitch pictures, so that runs in my family.
Yeah, right, yeah. So do us a favor, if you're communicating with them or if you're having some sort of a communication with them at any point, ask them if there is anything in there about the star chart. Just it'd be interesting to see if they send you any feelings or information or anything like that, because you don't know, you may actually have a map there that you don't even realize.
Maybe. But I think it's more like a patch or an insignia of I call it virtual reality. Like another way I thought of it is like immersive. So like it's obviously not done, but we'll see when it's done. Then we could say for sure. But
interesting
that you mentioned the star chart.
Yeah, just something from an outsider just looking in. So the cover.
You've got experience, so I appreciate that.
No, it's all good, man. Like anywhere I can help you sort of figure out some of this imagery. I've been sent thousands of things like this over the years, and your stuff stands out a lot more than a lot of other people's does. So
very cool. Very cool.
So cover page of the book.
Cover.
Yep. So I'm looking at that. This is sort of what you're talking about, like collaboration type stuff.
Yeah, that's more me though. That's the one collage that I made through cut up a few pictures. So yep. I don't know if that's an actual alien, but I had some fun with making it.
It's cool. I actually quite like it. It's very psychedelic punk. I'm no good with that. I'm not an art person, but I'm a music person, and that sort of really stands out to my punk side.
Yeah. Well, if you want me to read, so on the left side it says all photos by Richard McGill, and then all craftsmanship, skill, bodacious bewilderment, and stupendous scalawagaliciousness, aliens. I made up a word.
That sounds like some Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics.
I was thinking, like, how does a pirate, when you ask a pirate how is their food, and they say, oh, that was scalawagalicious.
Yeah.
What do you mean aliens aren't real? I don't know how to make virtual reality art. I'm just a trigger man. That's the title.
So
long title, but
that's something I want to ask you about. The trigger man, where does this come from?
The copyright of the book is 2019. Yep. So I was making it when I heard all people, the word trigger, those social justice warriors getting triggered about
to be
everything.
Triggered. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, we doing like a joke jokingly, I'm going to be pissing off a lot of people in the religious field or the UFOlogy field that are not, they're dealing with ancient things. And here I am with this present tense. And it's also got a conspiratorial feel to it that I'm like taking on I'd like to say that I work for the real Illuminati, like the stars and the moon, the star people, not the human fake evil nefarious Illuminati.
No, I'm with you on that
one. I'm in the thick of things now, I think.
No, I just when I saw the Trigger Man thing.
I watched a lot of James Bond movies too. So
yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, when I saw the Trigger Man name, it sort of made me think of some of the stuff you've talked about in some of YouTube stuff.
When you take a picture, it says shooting, right? So it's a play on words. And when you take a picture, that's shooting on the Wi-Fi. So that's nothing actually weaponry, except for the rock that they gave me. But no, I don't own a gun. I just want everyone to know.
And that's the thing is that a lot of weaponry as well in many cultures aren't don't actually signify to hurt someone with it. It might be a purely ritualistic or purely symbolic weapon. Tutankhamun's knife, for instance, wasn't a knife for combat. It was a purely ritualistic, symbolic vessel, essentially. So where we're up to, one sec. Next picture is this one. This one stands out to me. So this is the Venezuela UFO.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. That when I went to after the first year of university. Went traveling to Venezuela.
Yep.
And I took that picture, not even on a digital camera, with the DSLR. And 15 years later, when I was, or maybe 12, 13 years, when I was designing the book, I looked at the pictures and I saw that. I'm like, it zoomed in. And it kind of looks like the Black Knight or the Dark Knight UFO.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the same thing, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, have you read up about the Black Knight at all? Because that has a very similar shape to it. But there's never been anything like that really taken within Earth's orbit. It's always been outside of Earth's orbit.
Someone said there was just a sparrow, that it's just like, it looks like maybe coming close, but looks far away. But I'm with you that it's a... most likely a UFO.
I know. Have you ever tried to take a picture of an airplane in the sky? It doesn't appear in the image. Like, you take a picture of a flying sparrow, the size of a sparrow won't even probably appear in the image properly. That seems like it's something big. The other thing I saw Now, for listeners of the show, we did an episode on flying humanoids. Now, this is something that appears around the world where it's a humanoid type figure floating in the sky. Looks like a person, sometimes making the shape of Jesus on the cross, other times just floating there. But no one's ever gotten a close enough image. There's a video out there of a little girl that floats up into the sky. Maybe fake, we don't know about that one. But there are a lot of images of flying humanoids, and that almost looks like that as well.
Really?
Mm. So if you look up flying humanoids, you'll find some images that look very uncannily like that. And a lot of the flying humanoids came from South America. A lot of the images came from South America.
Really?
Yeah, very, very interesting topic, actually.
but then I just saw maybe a couple of weeks ago that there is a drone in the shape of a human now that they've got. So now it's that, I guess they say that's the biggest bane to the UFO field is drones. And
this will be, yeah. So yeah. What year was that taken in Venezuela?
15 years ago.
Yep. So no way that's a large, there's no way that's a large size drone. Not a commercial one anyway. Commercial drones weren't even that technical 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That image does stand out. So number seven, the object UFOs, we've got sort of like these bars.
Yeah. So that, like I say, when you do something nice for them, they return the favor, but it's not going to be, sometimes it's with gifts, but mainly it's with like memories, or in this case, a really cool picture. So the day I bought a zoom lens for my camera, after maybe 6 months of interacting with them, I bought like a nice $700 lens. Our money is kind of similar. So when I say Canadian, it's almost the exact same for Australian dollars.
Yeah.
So very, very similar.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And so I was in my backyard taking some shots of the night sky. And the first picture had nothing, just three stars, black screen or black night sky. And then I adjust the settings. I don't move the tripod. And I take another picture. And that picture, the art mode was used on the camera. So I don't know what it would look as, what the actual colors are. I couldn't tell you,
yep.
But art mode was used. And so from nothing, and then take another picture without moving the tripod, and you see this huge seven object. It's not the International Space Center. It's crazy. It's probably a seven object UFO from another dimension.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting image. There's a lot of different things that can...
For the people that have no imagination, it's like here, it's black and white, or in this case, yellow and... You know, like easy for them to see, right?
Yeah.
Just like the drill hole in the rock. They have really complicated things that people say, oh, that's just your imagination. And then other things that, okay, well, I have a picture of night sky, nothing. And then from that to that, right?
Yeah. And that it's exactly what you said. It's once again, people just automatically going to, this is the answer, instead of, trying to use their imagination a bit and think about it. Think about it on a different level. Heard you use the comment in different things, use your third eye type of thing. Like
this one, you don't even have to do that, but feel free if anyone has any explanations. I'm trying to get rid of all the terrestrial explanations for some pictures, but like it's not the International Space Station. It looks completely different, and you know.
Yeah, so I'm not on here to. I didn't want to bring you on here and sit here and say, well, I think this picture is actually this. I think it. I don't really want to debunk anything. My show is not really about that.
We're trying to further the conversation.
Figure it out. Yeah, so. There's so many shows out there that'll get people on and will just constantly say, no, I think it looks like this, and it's a bit jarring. I want to give people the opportunity to just try to suspend their beliefs for an hour or two and just try to immerse themselves in this world. And maybe it could trigger something. Well, there's that word again, trigger. Maybe it could bring something up in their head that will make them think, oh, yeah, well, when I was 10 years old, I remember seeing something like this. But I just put it down to ABC, but I didn't think of XYZ.
That's exactly what I was talking, what I was trying to, with the whole thing with the Dolores Cannon books.
Yeah. How, yep.
It's called Screen Memories. That with the example they give in the book is someone was driving and they see this owl that they've never seen the owl before. And they didn't think anything of it. But then when they get hypnotized, the Miss Cannon asks, can I speak to your subconscious? Okay. And then the subconscious says, or like, what was that? What it was, the owl on the road? And then the subconscious will say, that was an alien, but I made it seem like it's an owl to not frighten the person. So I had a similar situation where I thought I walked into my room and I saw a whole bunch of bees in the corner. But there, when I sold my townhouse and the person that bought it, he told me that there was a bee infestation. So who knows? It could be the same insect-sized UFOs that I noticed 15 years, 20 years later, or, you know, that's just conjecture, right? Like, I can't.
Oh, that's right. But it's intriguing nonetheless. It's things that do. And bees is an interesting one, actually, because bees are connected in so many different ways to the UFO phenomenon. They're connected to esoteric dark magic stuff. You name it, you'll find imagery of bees in there somewhere. I mean, you think back even to ancient Egyptian days, bees were used in so many different ways. It's quite interesting that you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Also the scarabs, right?
Yeah.
the funny story I just reminded me of. When I first started interacting with them, I thought every little piece of dirt was like, had a, like an alien little like arts and craft project. So I was holding up this little piece of dirt that I was thinking to myself, oh, this is like the world's tiniest trophy. And all of a sudden, like a beetle or something plopped into my hand. And I was so afraid, I dropped it. I was like, ah, just like the timing of, I'm looking at it. And then something, I was by the fence in my backyard, but the timing of it just falling and flopping into the hand that I'm looking at. It was like, and this was at the very beginning. So I thought maybe we'd poisoned or something.
Well, it's every... could be taken as every little thing you look at, you could find something in, and that you're looking for these things. But it could also be that, no, it's perfectly a subtle hint, a subtle message to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to look at this YouTube comment. So can you explain this YouTube? I'm a little bit lost on the YouTube comment, this nonchalant.
Okay, so... when I told my cousin, after a month of interacting, a month and a half of daily interaction with them, I finally told my family, and they told me about the movie Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe, in which the main character is a brilliant mathematician, and he thinks that the Russians are spying on, or the Russian spies are using the classifieds to communicate with their spies. So then obviously, you know, aliens and we got to communicate through communication too, just to piss him off, right? Just to, yep. I say success is the best form of revenge.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea, actually. So I think 15%, it wasn't a video about aliens, but the story behind it, when first year of university, in English class, the first test, the teacher gives us the essay beforehand. It says, do not go on the internet and do not look up what the essay is. You know, I want you to do it all through your own mindset. But then lots of people do. And then after we write the test, she accuses a lot of people of cheating for using the word nonchalant. And I actually like that word, nonchalant. Stupendously immaculate. I like that word, those two words too. But that really, really pissed me off. And then after the first year of university, I quit and went to Venezuela. But then when I'm busy creating this book, it's 200 pages. That's like the last page of the book. I wrote the story about that, the teacher accusing us. And one of the very first comments I found in the YouTube comments was nonchalant, we are aliens. So again, it's probably just a coincidence, but I'll give you another funny example of what something like that happened. I was, are you familiar with Far Side, the comic book?
Yes.
Comic strip? Yeah, they're really, really, very, very, they use a lot of aliens in there.
Yeah.
But it's funny comments. So I have the whole anthology. So I was flipping through it I see a comment, or I see a cartoon with a UFO, and coming out of the UFOs are cactuses, like aliens shaped as cactuses. And then literally an hour after flipping through the book and seeing that, I was again in probably an alien video, most likely, but the comment is, see if I can find it. The top part says ugly. The name of the thing is ugly cactus.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. So. Sorry. Have you ever, so just tying into that story, have you ever read up anything about Carl Jung with his concept of synchronicity?
No, not too much.
Have a look into it. So synchronicity is the idea that things don't just happen. They happen for a reason, and things line up together. So things like your cactus and things like the nonchalant, they appear as signposts. They have something to do with something from a past, or you know, it all synchronizes within your life. So you'll see certain things popping up.
I would also argue that it's also, in this case, aliens helping make the book a little bit more fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's sort of getting their story out there, isn't it? But yeah, have a look at the synchronicity and Carl Jung, and you'll find there's a lot of esoteric stuff that's very connected to extraterrestrials within that. You'll find a lot of symbology in it as well.
I got one more example here.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this is, I have a picture in the book of you don't have it, but it's just like a blue sky with a little, like a two cylindrical UFOs floating in the corner. So I put a Stephen King quote. I'm going to read it. Let's get one thing clear right now, shall we? There is no idea dump, no story central, no island of the buried bestsellers. Good story ideas seem to come quite literally from nowhere, sailing at you right out of the empty sky. Two previously unrelated ideas come together and make something new under the sun. Your job isn't to find these ideas, but to recognize them when they show up. And that's Stephen King. So then maybe I can't tell you the exact time after typing up that comment in a YouTube comment about Jimi Hendrix. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'll read you the end. What this a random comment about Jimi Hendrix is. It's called contrast. It's called class. You couldn't tell Generation Y guitarists now, though. They've grown up in a vacuum. Now you have the entire history of musical progression at your fingertips on YouTube. And it's meaningless without the context, like all the art and history stuff in the back bin of some opportunity shop. So yeah, it's kind of kind of idea dump, story central, no island of the buried bestsellers. And then I just found around, like, it's like espionage, jovial espionage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that's quite interesting and very deep. Interesting thing with the Stephen King thing is it's almost cryptic in the message there. There's a lot of themes in there, especially for people who do the research like myself. I'm going to have to do a bit of digging into that because Stephen King's got quite a bit to say when he's not saying anything at all. Like they read between the lines of some things that Stephen King writes, and there's some pretty deep stuff there. And a lot of stuff connected to that Hendrix said as well, and things that Hendrix did and wrote.
Yeah, he was about alien too. Yeah, he had some alien experiences too.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of people that say they use LSD to connect to aliens and things of this nature. And there's a story of people always running into the same creature, a mantis type creature, whenever they use LSD or whenever they use I've gone blank what the other one is. Anyway,
DMT,
yeah. There's a few others.
One of the last times I did, what was that? What do you call the pills again? Dopers
Pingers.
Or something?
Pingers.
Pingers. But last time, one of the last times I did LSD, I looked into the mirror and I kid you not, like the exact same, like the ogre on the rock. I thought that I was like a troll man. Yeah. That was, I was like, I don't know, my other self is a troll. Who knows?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of artists used it as perspective, to bring perspective to things that they couldn't really explain. And you got to be careful with that stuff, though. But I think something to it. There is definitely a use for it. I mean, you look back in a lot of ancient tribes would use this type of thing, like American natives with peyote and stuff like that. And you look at the Vikings in Norway and Germany and their use of mushrooms and things like that. So there's definitely something in our culture that does and react to that. And I think it's got a lot to do with your third eye, your pineal gland and all that. And I think there's a lot that we don't know about even ourselves, let alone aliens.
I don't know if it's our future selves coming to warn us, or I don't have the answers for anybody. I just have lots of fun things to look at and help at least prove that aliens are real, so we can move on from that subject. Now, to say, you had mentioned mantids. For some reason, I know everyone agrees, says, they're the most loving and they're the kindest ones. For me, I have no proof to back this up, or it's just my own feeling. I'm afraid of the mantids. I'm more about the reptilians, but it's also how we have a reptilian brain. And I'm also on Earth, the mantids after they have sex, they eat the female eats the male.
Yep.
So I think that might have some bias.
Yeah, of course. Dang, man. Yeah, no, I've met quite a few people that have eaten their own husbands, basically. financially.
Yeah, no. Metaphorically,
I'm just metaphorically speaking. No, but it is definitely it's interesting the perspective some people have. It's like for me, people talk about the Nords, the tall, blonde haired, pale.
The Nordics,
yes, yeah, and I actually have an iffy feeling about them. So I'm still on the fence of all of it. I've never had any encounters or anything myself, but the Nordics actually to me seem more like the from all the stories I've read, seem more like a couple of cult leaders trying to get you to join something rather than. actual people who give a shit about your lifestyle. But
really,
yeah, they just
I think that maybe might be just our own personal bias that we
probably
we have to have a good person and a bad person. I think I think that they're all, maybe when they look at you and you look at them through your third eye, they're like, they're not really smiling, they're just like a little gaze at you, and you think, is that just your imagination? Are they even talking to you? Like, what is that? Like, is that like a halo in your effect, or looking at from the sun one too often, right? Like, like you asked if I ever in my past, I remember at my grandma's house going to take a piss in the middle of the night. When you turn on the lights, you see the little dots in your eye, right? You know, I'm talking about those tiny little dots all around. So I don't know, for some reason, maybe that's, thinking back, maybe that's something to do with aliens, but again, that's conjecture and hypothesis, and I'm trying to do this as scientifically as possible. So I can't say anything.
Yeah,
about that.
No, that's the thing is, I think people aren't going to, if people are coming to you for answers, I don't think that's the right way of doing it. I don't think, and I think that goes for everyone, even like Bob Lazar and other people who've had alien experiences. I don't think it's right to expect answers when you're being basically a middleman. Yeah, and people just always ask you the questions. It's like, well, how do you spell it? You're just passing a message on.
Correct. Exactly. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Mm. So you've got a picture of the powdered graphite art there. We've sort of talked about that, so I'll put that up in the video and in the links anyway. But I want to go on to this penny art.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I looking at here?
That is just I find pennies in Canada. They're no longer valid. It's now we've gone up to the 5 cents, right?
Yep.
So we round up or down when it's at the cash register. So it's just one of the books I read that they say a couple hours on our planet is equal to a year on their planet. So maybe the aliens took it and around their solar system, because the piece at the bottom is like corroded out, looks like chipped away. So I don't know how you'd be able to do that. But I just found them, and I would sit and watch the picture being made for, I don't know how long, 15, 20 minutes, and then I took the picture. It looks really like kind of like a virtual world of where they live.
Yeah, I know what you. Yeah, so it's sort of like a map, isn't it? Yeah.
Picture. Yeah, that would be like a star, maybe.
Yeah.
A star thing, or it looks kind of like.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Eyesight is different.
I might have to. I might have to have another look at this later and put that up against your the back end of your tapestry, your cross stitch there, and see if there's
maybe
anything I can see. But that's interesting. So did you watch this happen in front of you?
Correct. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It's so it just sort of started burning away.
Very, very microscopic.
Yep. It's, so any smell coming off it? Like, was there a burning smell or?
No. You just see a mist, like, I call it UFO light energy. That's how I describe it, but I don't know if it's actually light energy. But like when I look at the night sky, stars just appear out of nowhere, and the moon just like slowly comes down towards you. And I've had people tell me this, like they also see the moon moving towards them, and they're not like just random citizens. So I would think that it's everything is alive, right? Trees are alive, rocks are alive. Whether it's microscopic or I don't have the answers what it is, but no smell or anything, just you can see it slowly move.
Nice.
When you look at the videos on not just the insect size one but the other ones, you just like stand a little bit back from your screen and you can like slowly see things move, but it's microscopic. I guess I have very good I'm very observant. That's why I have this job, possibly.
Well, that's right. I mean, they've obviously seen something in you that makes them want to go, yep, this is our guy for this particular job. So I'm having a look at some of your stuff on Twitter as well. I want to ask you some stuff just about your own personal art. So you've got your own art as well, which is some really psychedelic stuff. It's really cool, actually. I'm going to show some of the fellas I play music with and see what they reckon. But you've got some really nice art. So do you want to talk about your art a bit?
Sure. Yeah. That's actually, I was going to save it for the second book. So most people, when they get this opportunity, they would just try to go to the media right away. But me, I take my time. I get into photography. I spend like 3 years documenting the art, and then I start making music, and then I like documenting their art, making music, and then started getting into my own painting.
So I'm looking at one now. You've got
the bird one.
Well, you've got like a gold, anyone want to buy some 3D immersive art? It's
that was the recent one.
Yeah,
That's it's thank you. Yeah, it's fun to make, but I think I've got pictures of like the art, and then when you zoom in, you see little like if you watch the documentary, right? Mentioned there's little purple in the documentary. The guy goes, they added little purple things, but no, that's the UFO. Little purple things. When you zoom in, you see them, or the little X's I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I make the art. That's me. I make the art, and then I would have to sit for half hour, 2 hours for the UFOs to change it up microscopically and make it even better. So I'm going to be pissing off a lot of artists saying, maybe it's not just you making the art. Maybe it's aliens helping too. But
well, maybe, I mean, that's no different to someone saying they've written music or they've created art and God's work through them, or the angels have worked through them. No different to that. I mean, you look at some of Led Zeppelin stuff where they were talking about esoteric stuff. They said they were using spirits were working through them and stuff for some of the music. Like, there's lots of different artists out there who say that it's not just them doing the art. So I think there's probably some up themselves. That's a term probably, I don't know if you guys, but it's like snobby people. Art.
No, I'm trying to give them the credit that they're due.
Yeah.
I'm not taking the music. I put a lot of effort into it and the art I do as well, but I'm definitely aliens helped in both. Before this, I never even had a camera or picked up a ukulele or a paintbrush.
Well, so listeners can know, definitely check out once again at Richard McGill too. So Richard McGill2. I'll have a link to all of his social medias in the description of the show and on the link to the show. And go on there and buy some of this art, because it's definitely worthwhile. I think to have a piece of art like this, I can see you may if this goes big, getting in on some of this art early might. You know, you never know. You never know. You could.
The main thing is the book, because the art to ship it to you guys is crazy. But I could do $60 Australian dollars. That's with tax, with shipping.
You'll
go message me on Twitter, and I'll tell you the PayPal account, and you send me the money. And as soon as I get the money, I will send you the book. You're not going to be on Amazon. It's not going to be at Walmart. I only have 4,800 copies left, and once those are sold, it's going to be another couple months till I get. Everything is locked down in where I am in Ontario. Like, we're still in quarantine, only for a couple thousand cases, but everyone is walking outside with masks. It's like zombie apocalypse here.
Yeah. Well, I know you already said that you're going to send me one, but I honestly, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm buying one of these books off you because I think that yeah, you've been courteous enough to come on the show and all that. I do want to buy the book off you, not just have one sent to me.
Honestly, exactly. Everyone bought a copy. That would appreciate. I'm sure aliens would appreciate it that you're putting. Like, everyone would. Everyone want. This is the one chance that to say thank you for aliens for. They probably made us, right. We can. I'm sure you could agree that
that's a theory. Aliens. That's certainly a theory. Yeah. Yeah, and
aliens. At least with one of the books for Loris Cannon, they said that it's partially like religion, like there is a greater or a higher power, but then aliens, like they, it would take billions upon more billions of years for evolution to occur if aliens didn't put their little cajoling in.
To speed it up a bit, yeah. And you look at some of the stuff in our DNA, it doesn't really match up with much else on the planet. It's, one minute they're saying we're closer to a lettuce than we are to an animal. Next minute they're saying we're closer to a pig. There's so many different theories about where we came from, and
that's going back to the selfie picture. I mentioned in my inner monologues, warthog, and then the selfie picture appeared, and the top piece of that, it kind of looks like a warthog or a pig, like the muzzle a little bit, an alien pig.
for sure. Well, so, where were we? So in regards to all this, what's a personal favorite of yours? Apart from the gift they've given you, what's a personal favorite piece of yours that you have?
Just all the memories and fun, and they've given me a direction, like something amazing that I can possibly, you know, make a career out of this, that I don't have to drive forklifts. I can make art with them and give people, it feels so great to people actually look at the book and say, wow, like there's something seriously wrong with the book. I'm going to be outright and honest with this, with everyone, that 75% of the book came out a tiny, tiny bit blurry. In the Photoshop term, it's called rasterized. But that I did 5 revisions to get the book as crisp as possible. But we didn't include this. They also, were able to hijack my printer, and they left their little mark on one of the pictures, a little tag or signature.
Like, yes, I did see that in your other interview. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So
I think they did something like that for me, because I've had this book sitting on the printer's warehouse shelves for like almost going on a year and a half to 2 years now. But instead of putting, like, when the book came out and it was a little blurry, I was so distraught and like, oh my goodness, I invested all my savings. And then it took longer. I got into the arts, got into the music. But the thing with the book, I call it virtual reality artwork. You need the book, and then you take your phone and you stand back from the book and you zoom in any which way. And when you do that, the pictures come out perfect, crisp, clean. So it's kind of like the Salvador Dali with Dali and Disney, the picture, the Dali painting, that it's really blurry at the and it kind of shows like Lady Liberty. But then from 20 meters away, it shows Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. So yep.
It's so, kind of like that.
And it's angles as well. Depending on the angle, you look at different art pieces. But don't undersell the book. I mean, I think everything I've seen so far looks excellent.
To be honest.
Yeah. I get that. But at the same time, I think regardless of the blur, I think people will get a lot out of this.
A piracy aspect, like alien. I say aliens are master chess players. That they got to have some sort of defense. And if someone were to pirate the book, it's going to be even harder to pirate it because it's a little bit blurry. But when you, for me to take as long as I did, and now it's coming. When I used to play in cards in high school, hearts. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the game, hearts.
No.
It's like kind of like euchre a little bit.
Okay.
It's like a card game. There's a thing called shooting for the moon there, where you try to get like all the points, and if you get it, you get a big score. And I would always shoot for the moon for some reason, even when my cards weren't that great.
Yeah.
But I think it was, like, saw that in me, like, oh, this guy, like you said, do this for lots of people, different aspects. But hey, maybe he's gonna prove once and for all the aliens are real and make a business. And now after this COVID thing, everyone is really in such a piss poor mood, right? That this whole alien thing the whole thing with the Israeli diplomat saying, aliens, the Galactic Federation, this, I've been interacting with them for 3.5 years. The copyright of the book is 2019. So I've been doing this a lot before. It's just good coincidence again.
And this is, I was going to talk to you about this. So things like the diplomat.
I said, I can't tell you if it's the same people.
No, of course not. But what I was going to get at is that he's a perfect example of why you're doing the right thing and releasing stuff in dribs and drabs, because he basically came out and said everything. And first day, it was taken seriously. But now people have
no one pays attention at all.
No, they're not paying attention, or they're completely destroying him, saying that he did this for personal reasons and stuff like that. They're tearing his story apart. And I'm just thinking, if he had have just released it in pieces and kept it in the social mindset of people, maybe probably would have been taken a little bit more seriously.
He's got no proof, though. He's got nothing to back up what he says, right?
Exactly.
Just his story. Okay, so everyone's got stories. I actually have them ready to do the art whenever. And I have all this proof, and I have a whole book that it's, you know, I'm trying to, I'm not trying to fake my way to fame and fortune.
But, no, of course.
I did this to document the art. It's, if you want to travel to other planets and dimensions, $60, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, then really, as you said, a great coffee table book just to start a conversation with people.
I've got lots of fun quotes and store anecdotes. It's not just pictures. There's 1,400 pictures. I kind of went overboard in the pictures. The next revision is going to be like maybe half that.
Fair 200 enough. Pages. Yep.
But yeah.
No, and that's the thing is the amount of times I have a conversation with someone and they find out that I've got a slight interest in this and they might be the most straight-laced person I've ever met. And then all of a sudden they're telling me stories about when they saw a ghost or when they saw a UFO in the sky. And I'm sitting there going, really? Like people have got stories, but they feel so, I can't say anything because they're going to treat me like I'm a crazy person now. So exactly. Having a book like this could be that that opening of a door for someone to say, yeah, actually I did have experiences.
Exactly. And hopefully I reverse the thing that when after this is, if or when it gets out to the public, the mainstream, that if you don't believe in aliens, then you're going to be considered crazy.
Yeah, that's right. And in saying that, just promise me one thing. If you ever get put onto, if they ever ask you to go onto a morning breakfast show, be very careful. Like if you ever get put on one of those like CNN morning shows or Fox morning shows or anything like that, I've watched too many people who have got amazing stories get
obliterated,
yeah, and made to be a joke. Because they're going on there thinking that it's a serious interview. They're thinking it's a genuine thing. But in the background, you've got the TV show host making fun of them, playing silly recordings and stuff like that. And just be careful when you the more fame you get, just be careful of where you go.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And honestly, even the first podcast I did, the guy was like, what do you have to show us? Pictures? And I'm thinking in my mind, if you had read the what I sent to the guy, I said I'm the personal photographer to extraterrestrials. So yeah, I'm going to have a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like really?
Yeah. No, a couple times there in that interview, I was like, I can see what you're talking about, but yeah.
They could, I know.
Yeah. So we'll probably have to wrap that up here now, mate. That was really great talking to you. If you're free again throughout the year, I'd love to have you back on to talk about some other stuff.
For sure.
Because I'd love to sort of dive into a bit more about your personal beliefs, like with dreams, you know, the third eye and all that, and things like government intervention in people who've had experiences. Hopefully
you help me get the word out to at least Australia.
Yeah.
And then I won't be suicidal. I want to put on the record, I love life. I do not want to commit. I will never commit suicide, ladies and gentlemen. Like you said, I did see a black helicopter the other day. It was watching me when I was doing some work for an hour, but they're probably just going around making sure no one's have large groups of people, I would assume.
And that's exactly right. And that's important. It shouldn't be such an important thing to do, but yeah, you do need to let people know that, I'm not in that sort of mindset. If anything does happen to me, it's not me doing it. Now, before we go, I just want to talk about your friend that's helping you to get your word out there. Overcoming?
Yeah, that's my buddy, childhood friend, Steve Daniels.
Yep.
He's an artist in his own right, an actual artist, doesn't do anything with aliens. And he's producing a documentary on me. And we've just been helping me sell my art on his website eventually. It's just reconnected the past month or two.
Yeah, but nice. Yeah,
he's a really good friend. I'm in his garage right now.
Well, I eventually would love to have a chat to him too, because I've seen on here co-founder of the World Skateboarding Health Foundation.
He's right here beside me. If you want to say hi.
I'll sort of save it for another one. But I just sort put that out there. So where can
he's also doing businesses that are also help for charity too, like has a philanthropic overture to it as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. I think, is there anywhere he wants people to sort of check out? Has he got any social medias he wants people to have a look at?
He is a social media guru. Dale, yep. Take it away.
Hey, man. First of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for talking to Richard McGill. You know, I really find his story quite interesting, and he's really optimistic, like we've noticed. And I really appreciate you for bringing him on the show all the way to Australia. I think he's an honor. He's honored. We've been really excited for this moment.
You were the first one.
Yeah.
The Bigfoot guy got in front of you, but you were the first one.
That was sort of my timing. I had a fair bit going on.
So thank you so much for doing that. And just about a little bit about me. So I'm essentially an artist, filmmaker, and I'm a designer. And I started a company called 777 Overcoming. Yep. And it's essentially where art meets fashion. And we sell different kinds of art products with us giving certain percentages to go to different foundations, which we started like the Overcoming Arts Initiative for Children, which is dedicated to overcoming adversity through arts, film, and athletics. And then last year we did the World Skateboarding Health Foundation, and we work with our national hospital here, which is in support of children. It's the largest pediatric hospital in Canada for children. And we do work with them. Last year we raised $25,000. This year we're planning to raise more. And you could get us at 777OV_. So just this is all on Instagram. So
yep.
777OV_. And my personal page is just at Steve Daniels.
Awesome. That's great. And
I love aliens, though. I love aliens, to be honest. I was always interested in aliens as a kid, watching all this stuff. So like this kind of Richard as a childhood friend of mine, experiencing all this alien stuff, and then making a book and putting all this effort and all of his money into it, kind of inspired me to kind of share his story of overcoming and
help
getting,
out, yeah,
getting into social media. So thank you, man.
No, not a problem. And I'm a dad and a ex skateboarder. I haven't been on a board in over a decade, so I don't know how good I'd be now. So it's always good to see that group of people being looked after. So. Yeah.
Longboard or small?
I had a longboard for a bit of downhill, but then I had the regular board. I'm left-handed, so I always skated goofy. So it was always hard to teach me anything.
What is that? 1 in 100 people are left-handed, or what is the what is
something the like that? Yeah, and everyone who taught me anything was always right-handed, especially in skateboarding. They're watching me. They're going, we can't figure out what you're doing wrong. So I just, a lot of the stuff I had to figure out on my own.
get out of here. I know I was looking at what I typed in oddball, and it's like a car. It's like a car for Australia, right?
Don't know about that oddball. No, I'm not so sure about that.
Oddball. When you type in oddball, Aussie, not just like your podcast on YouTube, they have like a certain type of car.
I'll have to have a look into that. Yeah.
You guys drive on the right side of the road or left side?
Left side, yep.
Left side.
No, we drive on the left. Yeah. And now we drive on the left and our steering wheels are on the right hand side of the car. So
seriously.
Yeah. it's I don't know. But no, it's been great having you on and thank you again. Yeah. I'll definitely tee up something again in the future because I think there's a lot more stuff we can talk about going forward as well.
Very cool. Much appreciated.
No, not a problem. Right. Thanks again, guys, and we'll talk to you all again very soon. Okay, so that was the very first interview on the Oddball Aussie podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. There's plenty more to come. I've got an interview lined up to have at least a few per month, so I'm really looking forward to that. Once again, check out the Twitter page at Aussie Oddball, and also check out the Facebook and Instagram, the Oddball Aussie podcast. You can also email me your stories, or if you want to be on the show, if you want to be interviewed, theoddballaussie@hotmail.com. And make sure if you're interested, check out that merch store, buy a bit of merch, support the show in a financial way. And I hope you all got a bit of something out of that. And definitely check out Richard's book if you can. It's, as I said, half the money goes to a good cause, and he seems like a pretty good guy. So, all right, look after each other, and stay safe out there in the weird. Good night.